Our Process, an excerpt from the forthcoming book by Phil and Maud Mays. A quotation: communication is to relationship what breathing is to maintaining life. Virginia Satir, Making Contact. When we have something to decide, whether it be a decision we have to make or a problem that needs to be resolved, we have a way of dealing with it that does not involve any struggle or conflict. We start by speaking in turn, offering our thoughts and feelings about the situation. Each of us listens and tries to understand the other, rather than defensively preparing counter-arguments. A willingness to change and a belief that other positions are possible is critical to this process. The intention is to be together and to reach a solution or decision that is mutual. There's no coercion, there's no haste. We're both fully present with each other, and neither of us has a predetermined answer. By hearing each other and being open, new ideas arise, and each of our landscapes of possibilities expands until they meet at a solution that neither of us imagined at the start. A new creation emerges, something that is the product of both of us together, rather than from either of us alone. There has been no compromise, because for each of us, there is a wealth of ways to live and be in the world. Our original position was just one of them. No one has given anything up. Rather, we both have gained something new from the process itself. This experience is wonderful. The more we practice it, the more we understand how it works, and the more we embrace it. Instead of tension and conflict, it engenders intimacy and closeness, and a great feeling of joy and peace arises, which makes us want to experience this again and again. We have moved into a way of accessing our mutual self and finding answers there. Only a solution that is shared can provide this kind of peace and joy. Is conflict inevitable? All of us have heard over and over that conflict is inevitable within a relationship. The common view is that we must deal with this conflict and learn to work through it. We believe that the essence of this myth is a false assumption. Although well-meaning, it perpetuates the view that the partners are adversaries and on different sides, and this attitude often leads to unnecessary separateness and estrangement between couples. It reinforces differences such as gender and personality, and instead of making them something potentially positive, presents them as obstacles to be overcome. Many therapists believe in conflict and even seem to revel in it. A quotation: you and your partner are programmed for conflict. The fact that you are involved with a member of the opposite sex, and I emphasize the word opposite, means that you are trying to mesh your life with someone who is physically, mentally, emotionally, and socially different than you. You and your partner are as naturally compatible as cats and dogs. And take my word for it, there is no book, no speaker, and no therapist who can erase that natural difference. Phil McGraw, Relationship Rescue. Let us be clear that we decisively reject this view. Instead, we see differences as something to celebrate. How do you and your partner handle decision-making and problem-solving? There is a simple and surprisingly powerful way of approaching this that can transform your interactions. For most couples, these activities are often a source of tension and conflict, rather than an opportunity for a creative experience together. These sessions frequently feel like duels over who is right and produce little in the way of mutual satisfaction or inspired solutions. Instead of tensions and feelings of separation, our process offers a wonderful experience of joint action. It is simple and effective, and can be used by anyone, with often astounding results. Try it out, and with a little practice, you will be surprised at the difference in outcome. set the scene. When conflict is our normal response, it can be difficult to adopt a new approach. But you can change the pattern by making a different and conscious choice. Next time you and your partner have decisions to make or a problem to solve, take a different approach. Think of it as a new kind of experience together, and treat it like a shared adventure. Set the scene by making sure both of you are comfortable, relaxed, and will not be hurried or interrupted. It's important that there be no time constraints, and that you can give each other your full attention. Start out by holding hands or being in physical contact, and proclaim to each other that you are on the same side and are looking for a place of mutual agreement. Relax, empty your minds of everything, and prepare to enjoy yourselves. Speak personally. State the issue or problem you are considering. Fully share what you want and what you feel, speaking one at a time until you are done. Avoid using the word you, the finger-pointing you. Instead, speak personally. Say, "I'm cold," rather than, "You pulled the blanket off me." Here, you are saying how you feel and not what the other person did. By phrasing it this way, two things are different. Firstly, it is no longer an accusation of the other person's behavior, so it doesn't provoke a defensive response, "No, I didn't," or a counterattack, "Well, you did that last week." It's merely a statement of how the world is for you. Secondly, a statement in the first person is an act of intimacy, a revealing of yourself. By speaking about your own feelings, you offer closeness and invite empathy. A quotation. Statements which begin "you never" or "you always" are usually ones that generate far more heat than they do illumination. The actual difficulties cannot be clarified when they are being buried under a slag heap of wide-ranging, irrelevant denunciations. Maggie Scarfe, Intimate Partners. Hear your partner. After you speak from the I of your feelings and wants, then listen to your partner doing the same, without interrupting or doing any editing in your mind. Actually listen, rather than waiting for the moment when you can talk again about why your opinion is the correct one. It's really important that you not criticize your partner's suggestions, but simply accept them as their reality. A quotation. Expressing one's own feelings is a dysfunctional way of being in a fight. Maggie Scarfe, Intimate Partners. As this process unfolds, the situation will change for both of you. Each of you now knows what your partner feels and wants. You have more information. Keep sharing, and you will find that other possibilities arise that you did not see before. This is how a mutual solution begins to emerge. Trust that such a place can always be found. When you share core values, this is always possible. Explore together. Take your time when having this discussion. There's no rush. Come from the position that neither of you is steering the exchange to a particular conclusion or is attached to a specific outcome. Stay in the present with each other without coloring your experience with preconceptions or projections. Don't be concerned with being right or who is right. This will quickly dissipate any feeling of tension and create an atmosphere that is without charge. The issue of preconceptions and projections is a tricky one, because we all have these to some extent or another. The task is to find a way to set these aside and allow something new to be introduced. There are generally more possibilities in a situation than we initially imagine, and holding on to a position only blocks seeing those other possibilities. As you practice this process, you will find it becomes easier, and that you look upon your exchanges as an opportunity to create, to be surprised with something new and fresh. You will find that you come to appreciate that your partner has different views and ideas that expand the possibilities available to you. By not freeze-framing a specific expectation or outcome, you will experience that your partner introduces a variety into life that would not otherwise be there, and you will really begin to welcome change rather than resisting it. Trust the process. Don't fall off the wagon. Every time you feel yourself losing contact with your partner and getting defensive or argumentative, keep in mind that you are in this together and return to the emotional connection you committed to at the start. Believe a result is possible, even though you might not see it yet, and that the two of you want to reach it together. Reaffirm this to your partner. If your partner slips, don't join him or her. Instead, help them back by remaining committed to a shared solution. This is the point at which you can make a conscious choice to act differently. One small change will cause a different reaction, and the entire discussion can take an alternate path. By refusing to let conflict in, even if it comes from your partner, your response can change the entire tenor of the exchange. Expect the unexpected. The results of this process are quite surprising, and you will discover a real sense of pleasure at tackling the issue together. As ideas, viewpoints, and feelings are exchanged between the two of you, the results go way beyond either of your original concepts, and you will reach a place that works for both of you that neither of you imagined initially. It's not a product of compromise, but rather something your openness and acceptance of each other has created. You may have changed your position as a result of this process, but you have not been forced to give anything up. After using this approach on a few problems, you get a feel for it, literally. A sense of delight and intimacy arises when you find a mutual solution. Your positive experiences accumulate and bring with them assurance and peace, combined with the knowledge that acting together, you can find answers and resolutions that are far more than either of you have conceived alone. This style is something that can be cultivated. Seek for the positive and come from love. It feels and works so much better than manipulation, force, pressuring, anger, self-righteousness, control, or separation. Most of all, it is important to remember that this is not some hard, heavy struggle. You're playing, sharing your individual selves while actively co-creating the we. This is a dance you're doing together. Make it light and make it joyful. We wish you much delight as you experience this process and the surprising transformation it brings. Interviews with other couples. James and Rita. Question. How do you deal with disagreements?
I don't think we fight because neither one of us wants drama. I've had so much drama in my life. I just wanted peace, and I did that consciously. I don't want fighting. I don't want upsets and all that. So we started using humor, and it works really effectively for us. I think we both do it. When I feel neglected, I go, "Oh God, I feel so neglected," and dramatize it. I'll make fun of myself and the feelings. Not that my feelings aren't real, but I go to therapy with that. Also, at the beginning, I would talk about whatever I was upset about with other people, and then come to James in a cleaner way, not blaming, but talking about my needs more than, "You did this." The humor has been really helpful for me. I will dramatize and exaggerate, and then we'll both laugh. But I still get to say my feelings. Saying that I'm feeling neglected and what are we going to do about it is just heavier. So I like to use humor because we're always laughing. I think I've laughed with James more than anybody.
Yes, because it's a good way. If something's bothering you, it's a good way to bring it up, because then we talk about it and what to do as far as how to solve the problem. but nobody gets mad, and we always seem to have a good time with it.
Another way we handle things is trying to say it in a non-blaming way. For example, when we first met, I used to make dinner all the time, and he would show up late a lot. And so instead of saying that I make all this dinner and then it's cold, I tried to say it in a different way that wasn't offensive. I said that I admire you so much that I just want to please you, and that when I make dinner for you and you're late, I don't feel it's important to you. I don't feel valued. He's been on time ever since. That's 8 years of being on time, when before that wasn't the case, until I communicated how important that was.
Yes, it came down to I wasn't showing respect for her putting in all that time and effort.
James is incredible. I mean, he adapts to requests, and that's pretty amazing. He's not self-righteous or mean. There's not a mean bone in his body. And he's a kind person.
Jackie and Michael. Question: how do you deal with disagreements?
When I see something he doesn't like, I'm observing myself. I say to myself, Jackie, you need to tell him. Don't put it under the rug, because it's going to grow there, and it's going to create a bump, and it just kind of poisons the well sooner or later. Tell him right now. Again, don't assume that he's going to read your mind and he's going to change or something. You have to tell him what you don't like and negotiate. I mean, relationship is a constant negotiation. Okay, I'm going to change a little bit to the way you want it, but don't assume that I'm going to switch for you. I don't want to change him. If there are certain things he likes to do a certain way, go for it. But if you don't talk about it, it starts to have a negative effect on the relationship. So when there's things I don't like, I observe myself and think, Jackie, you need to tell him. I almost feel like there's a higher self looking at me and saying, this time it's going to be different, and you're going to have to be straight instead of stuffing it.
That's one of the things I so appreciate with Jackie, that she's very candid, sometimes blunt. But I'd rather take that than having a smile where the frown's beneath it, and dissimulation and lack of transparency in everything, you know, the pretending that everything's okay. I will not tolerate that anymore in my life, period, because it never, ever works. And so, yeah, sometimes when she'll tell me something, I have to stop for a moment. In the past, in previous relationships, I'd get defensive because I took it as an attack. Jackie never means it as an attack. She's just saying this is how she's perceiving it, and this is why it doesn't work for her. Then I'll observe myself, the ego side of myself, wanting to react to it, and then I'll just say, all right, you know what? She's telling me something valuable.
Let me give a specific example. In my family where I grew up, my mom would always say, don't ever waste food. You just put it away in the refrigerator and eat it tomorrow. Don't throw food away. It's wired in my brain from my childhood. I don't know what to do about it, but listen. When I go over to Michael's on the weekends, I cook, sometimes too much, and I leave the leftovers for his meal on Monday. So one time I came the next weekend and I saw the food was still there. The first time I didn't say anything. I just thought, oh well, he forgot it. Second time, oh well, he's too busy. Third time, I'm going to have to tell him. This is not going well. So I said, honey, I have to tell you something. This is how my mom brought me up. It's how I grew up in my childhood. And I have that in me not to waste food. So if you don't want the leftovers, tell me. I'll take them with me and I'll eat them. And so now we have that understanding. Hill will tell me, honey, I don't eat the food and I forget it, so it's better if you take it with you. Or if you leave it, I'll make sure I eat it. And so there you go. You just talk about it, any problem, and see how you can solve these issues. It's simple. It's silly. But you have to talk about it.
Well, I think what it is, you're afraid of hurting that person's feelings. where really what you're afraid of is their reaction to what you might say, and you get abandonment issues and all kinds of things. Like this last time, I hadn't eaten any of the food she'd left. And after I discovered that, I thought, oh my God, it's been a week, so I just tossed it. And when she saw that, she said, honey, I got something I have to tell you. This kind of hurt my feelings.
I felt hurt that you just threw it away. You see, you have to talk about it.
And we did, and I apologized. The point is, avoiding reactive behavior.
Like shouting the thing out or fighting instead. That doesn't work out a problem.
So as far as disagreements go, being totally authentic and transparent about your communications and then avoiding being reactive to what is being said, those are crucial areas. Diane and Mark. Question. How do you solve problems? One thing that I feel we're working on is how we address each other, how we argue, how we talk to each other, how we get things across, the things that are bothering us. And how do we do it so the other person doesn't get hurt or we don't escalate the intensity of the situation? We're both quite different. The way I deal with things, I'm more down here, and I feel that Diane sometimes can get very loud very quickly, and I'm not used to that. I grew up in a household where the emotion was really tapped down and repressed, and I was used to that. If my dad raised his voice or something, or an argument started, then all of a sudden she'd say that the neighbors are going to hear, and they would tamp it down right away. With our relationship, it seems like depending on what's going on with Diane and what's going on with me psychically, sometimes I'll say something and she'll take umbrage, and the level of the voice goes up and the intensity goes up, and I have to take it upon myself to defuse the situation. I think that we're learning how to fight fairly and not get it to escalate to a point where you're actually inflicting wounds that are going to be hard to fix.
So that's where the goodwill comes in.
We've accumulated goodwill over the years.
I also think, even when we argue, which we do, that I don't want to be stuck in that place. Rarely have we gone to bed in 23 years angry with each other. Usually there's either some resolution or an agreement that this is crazy and nobody wants to be in that place.
So it's pretty important in our relationship that we try to not let things linger.
Or fester.
Yeah, fester, or get out of hand. So we spend a lot of time working on that. I think I'm more inclined to try to stop it, to try to put some consciousness into it. That a lot of times I'll go, now, Diane, your voice is like 10 dB up.
That sometimes gets me even more riled up.
Yes, sometimes that antagonizes her.
Sometimes you're talking about the effect and not about the problem and what causes the voice. It becomes about, oh, you're not acting right, rather than let's talk about what the problem is.
What I find that works for me is that I lower my decibels and I try to make my voice calmer and slower. And sometimes that works. Just by lowering my voice, becoming calmer. And sometimes that'll bring the whole thing down.
Because I can see that I'm being unreasonable.
That works better than accusing her. Question. How do you deal with disagreements? Well, with the disagreement thing, we have disagreements all the time. And usually what we do is, I'll state what I think we should do, and then she'll come back with yes, but, and we'll go back and forth. And if we can't resolve it that way, then sometimes we'll say, well, give me some time to think about it.
Agree to disagree.
And then we'll bring it up later.
I like to figure out how to come to a win-win, how both people can get their needs met.
Yeah, that's the tricky part of the relationship.
I am much more, I'll blurt out something. Mark's not a blurter. I sort of react, and then you sort of come back more reasoned, and then we go from there. But I often need to just express myself. I'm more emotionally expressive than you are. Something else that helps is not to say always or never.
Yeah, we call each other on the always stuff.
You never do this, you always do that.
We always call each other on that one.
That's the finger pointing you, but taken to the next level.
For one thing, it's untrue. And basically, it's unfair.
Yeah, and we're both conscious about not blaming.
That's the end of the excerpt. Thanks for listening. Sign up for our newsletter at philandmore.com to get more relationship advice and special offers. Bye for now.